Church, today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 77. Accidentally, it's on page 571 if you wish to follow in your pew Bibles. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned, I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remember my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you enlightened. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in a whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
As we sat and talked, this young lady, her eyes lit up, remembering the past, remembering this love, this new love, this first love, and all the hopes and dreams that were attached to this relationship. This person, she says, grounded me. My spirit that always wanted to take flight, that always wanted to run away, I was able to find security. I was able to find a place with this love. I didn't want to run anymore. I didn't want to run away because it was in Him that I found comfort. It was in Him that I found stability. What a great love it was. And we wanted to share that love with another, so we got pregnant and we wanted to have a child that we could raise to share this love with. And as the baby was growing inside and just knowing how beautiful this was going to be, this love shared between the three of us. And as the days got closer, you know, all the expectations of, is it going to be a boy or a girl? Is, you know, getting things ready in the house, getting a place set, you know, building that nest. And as the time came to deliver, and all of a sudden, you know, some of the fears of what's it going to be like? Because the past is going to change now. It's not just going to be the two of us anymore. It's going to be the three of us. But within that fear of what it's going to be like, there was also the joy and expectation of what we can share together. And as they go to the hospital, the day begins with joy. It begins with great light. But it would not end that way. Have you ever been in one of those situations where it was just so exciting. You were just waiting in anticipation of what the rest of the day was going to be like. And at the end of the day, you said, what happened? Because as she goes to the hospital and they're wheeling her in and she goes in to give birth, something happens to her body. She gives birth to the child, but something about her body gave up and she went into a coma. Could you imagine the hopes and the dreams of what life is going to be? And now you feel trapped within a body. And as she's telling this to me, I can't imagine what it was like. She says, my mind was good, but my body wouldn't respond. And this went on for months and months. Wondering, what about the dreams we had? What about the hopes we had? What about the plans we had? What about this child? What about this man? What about me? Where is it going to go? And it finally got to a point where they were preparing to send her to hospice because in their minds, she's not going to live. And this man, this anchor, comes beside her and says, don't go. Don't leave me here alone. Don't leave me. I need you. How am I going to raise this child? I don't know the first thing. Don't leave me. And as she sits before me, thinking that this was going to be the end, she says something happened and all of a sudden I thought, I had to fight. I couldn't give up. I had to fight. I had to remember what it was all about. I had to remember what we were longing for. I had to fight. And she slowly got better. She slowly came out of the coma. But that wasn't the end of the road. You know, you can think it's going to be a yellow brick road leading to Oz, but it wasn't going to be that. It was going to be a long road, a hard road, a tough road, because there were going to be surgeries. There was going to be speech pathology. She was going to have to go through physical therapy because over the time of laying in this bed, she being in a coma, she wasn't able to talk well. She slurred her words. She was slow of speech. She had to learn how to walk, how to get around. All the things that once were weren't anymore. And she had to relearn all of those things. This is not an easy road. This is not an easy path. But the thing that she kept putting her hope and her trust in is that she's not doing it alone. This love of her life was there beside her. This love of her life was going to see her through. This love of her life was going to sit by the edge of her bed and get her up and carry her or walk her to the bathroom. This love of her life was going to clean her when she couldn't do it herself. This love of her life was not going to leave. And that gave her strength. It gave her hope. It built trust. And as she's getting better, and all the dreams are starting to kind of rematerialize, all the things of what the future together were going to look like started to come back because she's regaining her health. And then she gets a phone call. He died. He died? He can't die. I came back for him. He can't leave me alone. But he died. What about this journey? What about this hope? What about this dream? It shattered. The psalmist is reliving this experience that maybe some of you at some level or another are experiencing now, have experienced in the past, or may experience, or walked with someone who was. What do you do when in the midst of all your dreams and all your hopes, things don't get brighter, but they get darker? The psalmist is saying that he's in the midst of a time in Israel where the people of Israel had forgotten their God. They'd forgotten their first love. And God was going to let them, if you want, I will let you trust in the one who you think will provide. And then I will see, you will see, whether this provider that you're putting your trust in really will carry you through the difficult times. You will see. And in the midst of the nation of Israel just going off and leaving their first love and loving every other thing because it was a good life, an easy life. It was wonderful. I could be satisfied now and I could strive for the things I wanted. But those things weren't lasting, and it was kind of like a consistent running ahead and then to rest to feed on the bounty of what this thing provided. But then they became hungry again and they had to find something else. And it too would not provide. It would not satisfy. And the further and further away that the people of Israel got from their God, the harder and harder it got for those people, because the people around them started to impose themselves, started taking away their freedoms, started making them realize that this God that they're placing their faith in isn't really protecting them. And all of a sudden, there's this, the faithful people of Israel, they're having to experience this pain too. All of a sudden, all of the nation is wondering, we're the people of God. Why is it that he's not protecting us? And God is up there saying, it's because you ran after them. You're not running towards me. I let you embrace those things that would take your life, not fulfill it. And now you are reaping what they were sowing. And many people would get angry at God. Why are you not doing this or that? But just think about the faithful people who weren't doing those things. They're having to suffer too because of the whole nation not just honoring God. And they could look around and say, God, I'm doing all the things you want me to. So why are you punishing me too? And this is where the psalmist is writing. He says, I'm laying on my bed and I can't even think straight. But in the midst of it, I sought the Lord. But even in that, my soul was not comforted. And the reason he's not comforted when he goes to the Lord is because he remembers that day when things were good, when the nation was vibrant in following their God and in this relationship with God. And he's seeing all the things that were going so well now in shambles. And it didn't bring comfort. Can you remember back to those early days, if you're a Christian, where you made that commitment to God and you go, man, this is great. This God of heaven, he loves me in spite of my sin. He sends his son to die to take away my sin. This is wonderful. I love this God. And how filled with excitement you were to read the words of God, because you knew this God loved you and you just wanted to drink in who this God was. You wanted to be with God's people because you knew by being with these people, they would support you and you could support them, and you were on the same goal, going down the same road, on the same path to the same destiny. And you knew no matter what happened around you, these people had your back. Sure, it wasn't perfect. Sure, there were people that you might have troubles with. But hey, we're all human. But we know in the long run, we all want the same thing. We want a relationship with this God who sent his son to die for us so that we could have one. Do you remember those days where you just couldn't keep from being away from God? But the psalmist is remembering these things, and it's not bringing him comfort because he looks at where he is and he says, how did I get here? It wasn't supposed to be this way. It wasn't supposed to be sick. It wasn't supposed to die. Because I thought that it was always going to be good and glorious. And he says, he cries out to God. And then his crying out becomes almost fruitless. And he goes into what we call, you know, the Shakespearean soliloquy. No longer can he speak. He can't even say the words anymore because it's just so painful. He says, my soul is comfortless because I look at the vast distance between the former days of what it was and what it is now. Are you there? When you look back to those early days when you became a Christian and all the things that it meant to you, that now maybe you're in a situation where you're going, man, God's not showing up. God's not making a change. Why am I putting my faith in this God who seems to be so distant? The psalmist says, it feels like I've been forgotten. One of the things we have to remember is there's a great nemesis out there. And we've talked about this over the several months of you have the adversary like Otto was talking about who took Jesus out into the desert and said, are you really going to trust God or are you going to trust your way? Here's rock. You're hungry. Turn it to bread. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust in the God who saved me. I'm going to trust in the God who loves me. I will let him feed me in his time. Go to the pinnacle of the temple. Throw yourself off. Make God prove to you that he loves you. He goes, I will not do that. I will not put God to the test. I know this God. I don't need to test this God and I will trust this God. But the nemesis within ourselves, the one who longs for things to always be right, always be good, always to be pleasurable, says, if God's not showing up the way I want him to, then I'm going to question this God. And the psalmist is in the same place. He'll make the statement, if I remembered that you were once near me, and even that thought to remember that causes groaning within me. And he talks about how his body just feels like the constant beating of metal on an anvil. That life is so hard, life has become so difficult that I just can't take the pressure anymore. Are you there in life right now? And is it causing you to question God? He even says, I tried to close my eyes and you would not let me sleep. I tried to gain some rest, but you held my eyes open. You having restless nights because of all the things going on in life? A heart that was once filled with praise, the psalmist says, is now filled with gloom. And he says, well, what about his unfailing love? What about his promises? What about his faithfulness? What about his compassion? Have you said similar words in the midst of the darkness of life? Thinking that God is not showing up like you once thought at the beginning? And what the psalmist does is what we need to do. The psalmist says, I need to remember the powerful right hand of God. It's interesting in Old Testament, one of the things that God does when he acts is he rolls up his sleeves. And the psalmist says, and some of the prophets will say, God, roll back your sleeves. Let your right arm bear. Act in my life. Make things right. And the moaning and the groaning of God's people over the centuries is similar to the moaning and groaning of us. So we don't just sit there in despair, but we understand that that's because we're living in a broken world. It's not because God is impotent. It's not because God does not care. And the psalmist remembers that when God acts and he rolls back his sleeve and he takes his hand and enters into our existence, that he moves out of the way all the obstacles that stand between us and him. And when the people of Israel finally realized in Egypt that they were in mourning, but we're God's people. There's a God who loves us. Why are we in this existence? Then they lifted their eyes to God and they lifted their voices to God and they prayed to this God and this God heard them. But he didn't act immediately for them, but he hears them. Many times when we lift our words to God and nothing happens right away, we think God is not listening. God does not care. God is listening and God does care. God has a time. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. Oftentimes what happens to us, we want God's purpose to be our purpose. We want God's purpose to be our plan. We want his plan to be our plan. And God says, no, my plan for you is different from your plan. Your goal is glory. My goal for you is glory too, but not in the way you think. You want it now to experience life without pain, without suffering, but we're in a world that's filled with pain and sorrow and suffering because of our great enemy, Satan, who's always going to try to tell you that your way is much better than God's way. And he'll get you to look at things that the world says is beautiful and that will be satisfying, and that he will tell you, go and eat. And we, because we know it will satisfy us in the moment, we go and we eat. But what does it do? It tastes sweet on the lips, but it turns bitter in the stomach. And then we get filled with shame that we did it our way and we're further away from God than when we were before. And we wonder, how can this God continue to love me? And he tries to help us realize from heaven, he chimes out, I do love you. And the proof is his son on a cross hanging there to take away your sin. And in the midst of our groaning, this God acts and he remembers back to when God brought Israel out of Egypt. He's going to take them to a land of promise, that I am a God of promise. I told your forefather Abraham, I'm going to do this. And this is hundreds of years of this plan is going on. What about all those people who were suffering in Egypt under the hand of Pharaoh, who died, who didn't even get to Passover? How could they be faithful in the midst of a world gone wrong? How can we be faithful in the midst when we look around in our own life or in our world, to a world gone wrong? It's remembering back that what God did, he brought them to the edge of the sea and they're in despair saying, there is no path, there is no way, we're going to die. Our enemy is behind us, there is nothing before us. What's the point? And it is in that point when we can't trust anybody but God, he parts the sea, he spreads the way, and he gives us hope. And it had to be at that point. You see the sea? God, follow Moses through the sea. But what if the sea crashes down? Will you have faith? Do you trust his promise? Is he trustworthy? And they had to believe that following this God was better than dying. And oftentimes we always say, living is so much better than dying. And I don't care what might be ahead of me. That's the only way to life. And when we're in the midst of our suffering and in our questioning and we don't see a way, we have to remember that God has a plan, God has a way, he can be trusted, and he is the only way to life. There will be blessing in this life, but we will never be as blessed as we will be when he comes and makes all things right. So we have to endure now that the things in this life have gone wrong. Embrace the beauty and the glory of the things that are right, because God still reigns, but we know here Satan reigns, but he will be overthrown. We need to remember his powerful right hand, that God removes the things that stand in our way. We remember our birth into God's family. And God will lead as he promises. And his question to us is, will we follow when we're not sure where the path leads? When you think there is no way, will you trust he will make one? Or will you go off and trust yourself and something else to satisfy your soul, satisfy your longings? Will you hope in God that he will make all things right one day? That the thing that he started, the plan that he had for all humanity, will come to fruition, even though in this time, because of sinful humanity and the adversary playing on our weaknesses, it creates a lot of pain. Will you continue on that path? And it reminds me of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me on paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, he leads me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And I know by following you, in spite of all these troubles, in spite of all my adversaries, you will spread a banquet for me before my enemies. And this God will uplift you, and you will see that he is faithful. He will bring it to the end. And he puts people in your life to lead you on these paths. At the end of the psalm, he says he's done this through people like Moses. So there are leaders in our church who are trying for your sake to help you build faithfulness. Are you following their guiding? Are you, when they encourage you to study your scripture, or when they encourage you to be a part of a ministry, when they're encouraging you to come to Bible study, because it's really what's in your best interest, because this is what will feed your soul. Are you listening to the ones that God had put in your life to guide you on this path? Or are you like the Israelites saying, well, yeah, that's nice and everything, but you know, I know better than you do. Because that's what the Israelites did. The holy people that God put in their life, they would not listen because they were not telling them what they wanted to hear. And I might not be telling you what you want to hear right now, but that's okay for me. Because I'm here to tell you what God wants for you. And just like Jesus, he will put it out there for you to choose what you will do. Because he did not force anyone to follow his path. But his path is the way to life. Will you follow? You need the prayers of the church? We're here for you. We want to guide you. We want you to be filled with fruit of God's Spirit. But whatever your need, you can come now as we stand and give praise to the one who ultimately leads us. Let's stand and sing.